Essie Cup. Why? Why? Why is she still around? Seriously, why is she still around? Why do we have to be tortured by this wretched human being? Seriously, she's just a wretched human being. Just wretched. Just wretched. We talk about SC Cup all the time. We do. We talk about SC. We talk about everybody that's on television, that's on radio. I notice other people don't. I notice when you hear other hosts talking about programs. I mean, not all of them do it. But there's a fair amount that don't name names. They don't specifically say so-and-so did this. I don't know why they don't do that. I don't know if it's why I don't want to give them a platform on my show because I'm so cool and I have so many listeners. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know what the reason is. But I do. And we talk about SC Cup a lot. She's just a wretch. She's a wretch of a human being. She really is. She really is. She is positioned. Listen to me. This is somebody that already made the rounds. Okay? She burst on the scene. And many years ago, she was the first of the hipster, I'm going to wear the glasses, I'm going to, look smart. You know that look. Now everybody has the Essie Cup look, okay? So she burst on the scene. She used to be on Fox. She had Crossfire. They gave that to her. I think she was on there with that Van Jones, that other crybaby. So she made her rounds. She made the rounds of this quasi-political talker. And then she fizzled out. She did. She fizzled out. When you don't have your own show anymore, okay? When you do nothing except talk panel, because that's all she does now. She talks on a panel. When that's all you do now, you fizzled out. You weren't successful. She wasn't successful. If she was successful, she would still have a show. If she was successful, she would still have her own show. If she was successful, she would have her own show on CNN. But she's not. She's a failure. She's a failure. So what did Essie Cup do to turn that around? What did she do to turn that around? What did she do? Guess what? Yes, you hit the nail right on the head. She became an anti-Trumper. That's how she reinvented herself. That's how she sucked 15, 20 minutes more of a career. That's an anti-Trumper. A Republican who before Trump was... Democrats, bad. Clinton, bad. Liberals, bad. Bad, bad, bad. To now, Trump, bad, 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 bad. horrible, evil, the worst human being in the world, monster, garbage. And of course, she has columns now in various newspapers that are liberal, and it's a novelty to have a staunch Republican, a staunch conservative bash one of their own, even if it's only in name. Because people like S.E. Cup will argue, Trump is not one of us. He's not a true conservative. He's not a true Republican. Okay, well, whatever. In name, he is one of you. In name, he is one of us. So it's a novelty to have S.E. Cup write articles and get on television and bash Trump. So with her star already buried, and she just pops up on a panel to talk about, you know, this Democrat or this Republican, she rose from the ashes as being an anti-Trumper. So she has a new article, and of course it's on CNN, and it's titled, Media Should Stop Indulging Trump Pivot Talk. And it says, editor's note, S.E. Cup is the author of Losing Our Religion, the liberal media's attack on Christianity, and co-author of Why You're Wrong About the Rut. She's also a columnist in the New York Daily News. New York Daily News is a liberal rag. Mortimer Zuckerman and S.E. Cup writes for them because she bashes Trump. So here she is with CNN. And here's the other thing. It's very interesting. If you notice, when you go to CNN, I mean, it's not just today. It's been this way for many months now. But they're starting to ratchet it up. They're starting to boost the amount of opinion pieces they have. And I say opinion pieces because that's what they say when you have an attack piece. And they go, well, wait a minute. We are news, but this is an opinion piece. Well, if you notice, they have had more and more and more opinion pieces. Like, a lot of opinion pieces. And that's so they can bury Trump and bury Republicans. So, Essie starts this piece with, Google Trump pivot, and you get about 707,000 search results. That's because reporters, political strategists, pundits, many voters, and presumably members of his own staff have, for this entire election cycle, been collectively wondering if Donald Trump is ever going to become a smart, serious, and disciplined candidate. Now, remember, throughout the months, just like S.E. Cup just laid out in the beginning of her hatchet piece, everybody's been saying, when's Trump going to pivot? When's he going to pivot? When's he going to pivot? And SE Cup and the rest of the never Trumpers all said, they all said, well, I'm not going to support him until he can be more presidential, until he can show a different side of him. When he does that, then and only then will I consider supporting him, voting for him. That's all we ever heard. It's all we ever heard from the never Trumpers. Trump has got to do A, B, C, and D. If he does A, B, C, and D, then maybe he'll get my vote. He'll get our vote. We can support him. But he has to do A, B, C, and D. So week after week, month after month, they would say the same thing. Trump's got to do A, B, C, and D. He's got to do A, B, C, and D. And here we get Trump now doing A, B, C, or D. And the never Trumpers like SE Cup are like, nah, he doesn't mean it. He doesn't really mean it. And let's face it, when you've said the things he has said, how can you really pivot? How can you really be more presidential? So these people were never serious in the first place, like I said. Has nothing to do with about policy. Has nothing to do about being presidential. It's personal. SE Cup doesn't like Donald Trump personally. She doesn't like the fact that Donald Trump talks the way he talks, walks the way he walks, has hair the way he has hair, fact that he's from New York, the fact that he hasn't been part of this political game for 30 years. Because Trump is now doing what everybody said he needed to do. And the best part is, everybody said, normally after the conventions are when candidates pivot. Well, it's only been 3 weeks after the convention. That's all. It's only been 3 weeks. So, again, Trump is doing what everybody said he had to do. What your SE Cups and your Ben Shapiros and your Eric Erickson's. He's doing what everybody said he had to do. And don't tell me, oh, well, how do you pivot when you've called Mexicans rapists? Listen, all this stuff that the SE Cups and the Ben Shapiros and the rest of the never Trumpers are saying, you can't pivot. You can't be more presidential after you've said that stuff. Trump said all that stuff long before there was, you got to pivot. You got to be more presidential. I'm waiting for him to be more presidential. When Trump announced his candidacy, he talked about building a wall. So, SE Cup and the rest of the Never Trumpers are liars. They've always been liars. She continues. And I'm not going to go through this entire hit piece, but I just wanted to illustrate that for them doesn't matter that Trump is pivoting because they never intended to support him in the first place. Because he's doing exactly what they said he had to do, and they are still saying they won't support him. They're still burying him. I mean, guys, listen, it's amazing. It's amazing that Trump is only down. It's amazing that Trump is only down 5, 6, 7 points. That, guys, not just the entire media world is against him, but his own party's against him. Imagine half of conservative talk radio, half of conservative websites are against Trump. I mean, I'm not a Ben Shapiro fan. Okay? I'm not big on Shapiro. I'm not big on Bill Kristol. I'm not big on Eric Erickson. I'm not big on Charlie Sykes. But there are people that listen to them. There are people that follow them. There are people that are influenced by them. I'm not big on Mark Levin, but there are people that listen to him. There are people that are influenced by him. I'm not big on Meghan McCain, but there are people that listen to her. And every single one of these people, every single one of these people are anti-Trump. Every single one of these people bash Trump on a regular basis. So when you hear the SE Cups and the Ben Shapiros and the Rick Wilson, when you hear them talking about Trump doesn't have the full support of the Republican Party, Trump doesn't have what Romney had as far as Republicans. Well, of course he doesn't, because he has a section of Republican media bashing him. He has a section of Republican media telling their listeners not to support him. That up. The fact that Trump, depending on what poll you believe, and we've talked about it here, my feeling is you're talking about 5 or 6 points. Anywhere between 4 and 6. It ain't 10. It ain't 12. It ain't 15. It ain't 20, between 4 and 6. So after regular media, mainstream media, as people like to call it, drive-by media, so after them, after an everyday pounding by them, and then you include an everyday pounding by half the conservative media. I mean, guys, as much as Sean Hannity is a cheerleader for Donald Trump, as much as Hannity tries to give Trump ideas or consult him or his team, you've got, O'Reilly, who, yes, O'Reilly is a Trump supporter, but he doesn't fill his show with pro-Trumpers. He fills his show with Charles Krautheimer, with Karl Rove. I mean, Hillary Clinton's using an ad. The Clinton people are using an ad that features Krautheimer. You have Republicans. You have staunch Republicans, okay? You have staunch Republicans. Who are bashing Trump and being used in ads for Hillary Clinton and the Democrats. I mean, that's huge. That's huge. So sure, you got Hannity, but you got O'Reilly's panel. They bash Trump. Megyn Kelly despises Trump. So even when you get a pro network or a pro host, it gets balanced out by anti-Trump Republicans on that same network or on that same show. So if you add all of that up, and Trump is only down between 4 and 6 points, it's amazing. And yes, if the media wasn't doing what they were doing, Trump would be ahead of Hillary by 10 to 15 points. If the media was run like it's supposed to be run, if the media was run like 20, 30 years ago, where you had news, you had entertainment, and then you had news. If that's how the media was run, Hillary Clinton would be getting destroyed. So SC Cup continues. While we focus now seems to be on the durability or otherwise of this latest pivot, few are asking the much more important question. When did we construct this new version of the political pivot, whereby a year's worth of garbage is erased or forgiven? And why do we apply it to only Donald Trump? From the moment Trump descended on the Trump Tower escalator last year and proceeded to call Mexican immigrants rapists, to just this Monday when he tweeted out tabloid gossip about a pair of MSNBC hosts, there's nothing conventional about the way Trump has run his campaign. Remember, we talked about that yesterday, that the media would try to say, oh, Trump's back to his old ways. Tabloid gossip. It's not tabloid gossip. Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough are dating. They've been dating. They both divorced their longtime husband and wife so they could be together. That's not tabloid gossip. That's fact. And it's amazing. Because SC Cup, everybody on MSNBC, everybody on CNN, half the stuff they go after Trump over is really nothing more than tabloid gossip. Really is. When the New York Times does a piece talking about stuff and a beauty pageant from 25 or 30 years ago, and CNN's talking about it, and MSNBC's talking about it, and then it gets debunked, it gets debunked, it gets proven to be garbage. That's tabloid trash. And here's SC Cup talking about Trump tweeting out tabloid gossip. She goes on to say, some have found that exciting indeed, enough to elect him the Republican nominee, but many others, including most other Republicans, have found it disturbing or even disqualifying most other Republicans. I mean, again, here is a Republican. This is somebody that before Trump was Democrats bad, Democrats bad. I mean, she wrote a book. She wrote a book about how Democrats and liberals are attacking Christianity. I mean, that's pretty strong stuff. That's pretty strong stuff. And here she is saying, oh, Trump called Mexican immigrants rapists. That's not exactly what he said. It's not exactly what he said. And here she is repeating a liberal attack line. And then saying most other Republicans have found him disturbing and even disqualifying. She goes on to say, Trump himself has offered conflicting takes on a so-called pivot. Back in April, he promised that the hiring of the likes of political expert Manafort was proof that the campaign was evolving and transitioning. And so am I. I'll be more effective and more disciplined. And then, of course, under Manafort's tenure, Trump tweeted out a pandering Taco Bowl message. A pandering Taco Bowl message. A Taco Bowl. A pandering Taco. Again, imagine where Trump would be if just his own party didn't attack him. Seriously, just imagine that. Just imagine where Trump would be if people like S.E. Cupp just shut their mouth. Fine, you don't want to support him, but don't hurt him. Seriously, don't hurt him. And again, don't give me that line of crap about, oh, I put my country first. Like S.E. Cupp and the rest of them are these patriots. Seriously. I put my country first. Oh, I can't elect someone that's so unqualified. Someone that's just such a monster. Stop. Has nothing to do with that. Has nothing to do with that. A pandering Taco Bowl message. And compare that to Hillary Clinton sitting at a round table with black folk. And they go, what do you got in your purse? And she goes, hot sauce. And they're like, what? Get out of here. You mean you got hot sauce in your purse? Like Beyonce, like the song Formation, where she talks about hot sauce in her swag bag or whatever the hell it is. You mean you're actually quoting a line from a Beyonce song? Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm doing. You know, people will say you're pandering to black people. Yeah, how am I doing? I mean, that's Hillary Clinton. That's what she did. You understand that? That's what she did. Here, just to give you a remember. How about that? Just here.
What's something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
Really?
You,
yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Are you getting information right now? Hot sauce. Hot sauce in my bag, Swag?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Now, listen,
yes.
I just want you to know, people are going to see this and say, okay, she's pandering to black people.
Okay. Is it working?
Yes.
Are you
okay.
Not,
no, seriously. Hot sauce. I've been eating.
Remember that? So that's Hillary Clinton straight up saying she's pandering to black people. And here's Essie Cupp. Here's Essie Cupp, a Republican. Essie Cupp, the writer of books that say liberals are attacking Christianity. We are losing our religion because of liberals. I mean, that's an extreme position. For somebody to say, I mean, guys, think about it. For somebody to say, I'm losing my faith, I'm losing my religion. What? Why is that? Well, the liberals are taking it from me. I mean, that's wacky, wacky, alt-right, coup. I mean, that is everything that everybody says Republicans are. Alt-right, white nationalists, just you name it. That is a position that falls in that category. That you're not able to practice your Christianity because the liberal media is attacking it. So, this person is parroting Democrat talking points. She's parroting, pandering Taco Bowl message. And for Russia to hack us. Called on Russia to hack us? No, he didn't. I mean, if you didn't know who Essie Cupp was, you would say this is written by a liberal hack. You would think this is written by E.G. DeLeon or Chris Gazella or Joan Walsh or April Ryan. You said, no, this is Essie Cupp. What? You mean the person who wrote the book, Losing Our Religion, the liberal media attack on Christianity? Trump never called on Russia hack us. Us. The United States government? Donald Trump, in a sarcastic, off-handed joke, said to Russia, maybe you can find missing Hillary Clinton emails. Us. Hack us. So I guess Hillary Clinton is part of Essie Cupp, or I should say Essie Cupp is part of Hillary Clinton. Essie Cupp is part of the Democrats. I got to imagine that's what it means. Called on Russia to hack us. Attacked a Gold Star family. Like I said, if Trump just didn't have Republicans going after him, this race would be tied. Imagine. Imagine. Not having the Eddie Cups and the Eric Ericsons and the Charlie Sykes and the Ben Shapiros. If you go to Ben Shapiro's Twitter feed or you go to his website, it's a constant flow of bashing. And like I said, I'm not a Shapiro supporter, but there are people that actually follow Shapiro. There are people that actually enjoy reading and watching and listening to Ben Shapiro. He's on the radio every single morning. He's got a little radio show on over here in L.A. It's, 7:40 a.m., The Answer. And he's anti-Trump. A million people, 100,000 in this market, 50,000 in that market. If a million people are Ben Shapiro supporters and like Ben Shapiro, that's a million people that are turning off Donald Trump. That's insane. It's insane, man. And it's the same thing with SE Cup. If Trump loses, it isn't because of Trump. It's because of the SC Cups. It's because of the Ben Shapiros. It's because of the Charlie Sykes. It's because of the Eric Ericsons. If Trump can't get the 90 to 95% of Republican voters, it's not because of him. It's because of the SE Cups and the Bill Kristols and the Charles Krautheimers and the Karl Roves and the Koch brothers. It's because of all of them. It's all of these Republicans. So we continue. Clearly, Trump has done little, save for occasionally reading from a teleprompter to indicate he is capable of, let alone interested in, changing his penchant for telling it like it is, or what psychologists call blurting. But as GOP strategist Rick Wilson noted, Rick Wilson, an anti-Trumper, one of the biggest anti-Trumpers, who, by the way, has never worked on a successful presidential campaign. I mean, he's failure. He's like Stuart Stevens, just a failure. The media falls for the pivot talk every time. It's 87th pivot this year. And every time this happens, you know that there's a clock running. And that clock is when does Donald Trump get his phone back and start tweeting again? When does Donald Trump start letting his verbal dysentery spray all over the world again? Of course, most presidential candidates have to shift somewhat after courting their base voters to courting undecideds, independents, and moderates. But those shifts typically look more like a slight broadening and softening of message. What those shifts do not entail is an expectation of some kind of mass amnesia, where federal election voters forget about the inexcusable, offensive, alarming things the candidate has said or done for the past year. Yes, this really doesn't mean the media offering the Trump campaign the privilege of the pivot treatment. No one suggested, for example, that after Hillary Clinton admitted to keeping a private server at her house was a bad idea, that she was somehow pivoting towards becoming a more truthful person or accountable person. Yet, we are discussing on an almost daily basis whether Trump can pivot toward becoming a less extreme person. What is particularly disturbing about all of this is that we in the media are feeding into this idea that what a candidate says over the course of an election is somehow meaningless, malleable, temporary, and transposable. In doing so, we are telegraphing to voters the exact opposite of how to hold a person seeking public office accountable. If we're not, why should they? Ultimately, if Trump really were pivoting, it would either mean that he said the things he did, from banning Muslims to the use of nuclear weapons because he believed them, or because he was only using them to win. Neither should be an acceptable excuse. Words matter, and they should stick. Let's ban the word pivot till it can be used appropriately and responsibly again. Because in the era of Trump, there's no... This is a Republican. S.E. Cup. It's just amazing. Like I said, you know, never, ever have we been in a presidential cycle where the candidate's own party, people of his own, talk show hosts of his own party, media of his own party, pundits of his own party, have gone out of their way to bury the nominee. To bury the nominee. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, it really is. It's amazing. I mean, what were you always taught when you were young? When you were talking about family members, friends. Somebody goes, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. Don't, it's your friend. Don't say anything. You know, just, I know, you know, it's your sister. And I know you, you know, I know how you feel, but just don't say anything. It's like, guys, shut the F up. Shut up. I'm telling you, never have we seen this. Never. We've never seen this before. Somebody's own party, the media of the own party, the talking heads of the own party, burying the candidate. It's just never been done. It's just never been done. And like I've said before, if you think this is just a Trump phenomenon, a tsunami, so to speak, a tsunami of Trumpism, and once this election cycle's over, Trumpism's gone, Trump is gone, and everything kind of gets back to normal, the waves stop, the water recedes, the wildlife come back, everything's hunky-dory again, you're insane. Because let me tell you something, if Trump loses, All the people that went out of their way to bury Trump are never going to be able to come back. They're never going to be able to come back. They're never going to be able to come back. And I know in their mind they're thinking, oh, 4 years from now, that's a long time. People will have forgotten. People would have gotten over. And like we talked about yesterday, like we talked about months ago, 3 months ago, what Trump has created is going to keep growing. Because after this election cycle, the Republican Party is now split. I mean, it's split now, but it will officially split after this election cycle. You are going to have half the party in a Ryan, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz universe. And you're going to have another half of the party that's split into a Trump Breitbart universe. And the only way the Ted Cruzes and the Rubios, candidates that S.E. Cup and Bill Kristol and the rest of them love, the only way they're going to win is by having everybody in the Republican Party vote for them. And they're not going to get the Trump crowd. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. Now, I'm not saying that the Trump crowd can win without all Republicans, but the Trump crowd will be able to rebuild, and they will be able to craft a party in time, will be able to pull Democrats, independents, and create the ultimate new party that sees the Rubios and the Cruzes and the Crystals. And that wing either can form or die as the dinosaurs did.